And he did not win when we tried to send a task force over to rescue our people in Iran. That's about 3-4 years ago now. They met a terrible defeat. Now about our nations and a prophecy that comes down to our time today. Let me read you a prophecy in the prophet Micah. Micah, the 5th chapter, and beginning with verse 8. And the remnant of Jacob. Now remember, we are Jacob. The remnant is the last generation getting down to our time now. This is not ancient Israel 700 years before Christ. This is our time today. The remnant of Jacob shall be among the Gentiles in the midst of many people as a lion among the beasts of the field. Did the Jews ever become a lion compared to other nations in the world? Did they? No. But has the United States and Britain become like a lion compared to other nations? We certainly have. Because after 2,520 years, God blessed us beginning 1800 to 1804. In 1800, London had suddenly become the financial hub of the world. In 1804, the Louisiana Purchase came to the United States, and that was all of the great Middle West, added to the original 13 colonies, and we really became, for the first time, we had the wealth that began to make us a great nation. And by the end of World War I, the United States and Great Britain owned and possessed more than 2/3 and almost 3/4 of all the great wealth, the cultivated wealth of all the world. And all the other nations, Russia with her billion people, I mean China with her billion, and India with nearly a billion, more than 3/4 of a billion people, and Russia, the third largest nation in the world, and Japan and Indonesia and others that are have vast populations, and all the nations of Europe, Germany and France, Spain, Portugal, Italy, all of the nations combined had only a little over 1/4 and less than 1/3 of the wealth of the world. And our two nations possessed it. We had the sea gates of the whole world, and we're losing them. And Britain has already lost her world empire. Now then, I want to show you in prophecy what God said he would do to Britain and the United States after we had come to that wealth which God promised to Abraham and which he gave us. And the remnant of Jacob, that's the last generation, that's getting down to our time now in this 20th century, shall be among the Gentiles as a lion among the beasts of the field, as a young lion among the flocks of sheep. And what would a young lion do to little lambs and sheep? Who, if he go through, both treadeth down and teareth in pieces, and none can deliver. We were conquering every nation. We were winning every war for a while. But we were not serving God. We print on our money in God we trust. But we don't trust in God. I mean, the nation doesn't. I hope we in the church do. When I said we, then I was referring to the nation. And this nation is producing evil in every possible way. Homosexualities, women are beginning to run everything. Every kind of evil, rotten music, rotten everything. Families breaking down. Sex is rampant. Drugs. Crime is increasing. And we are exporting the wrong everything. Drugs, wrong music, everything in our American way of life. It is a stench to the nostrils of God Almighty. And God is going to punish our nation. We better wake up. But brethren, we in the church don't need to be punished with it. But the nation is going to be punished, and very quickly now. Thine hand shall be lifted up upon thine adversaries, and all thine enemies shall be cut off. And that has happened. But now, you haven't heard the end of this prophecy yet. But now listen. And it shall come to pass in that day, in the day when we're so strong, in the day when we're winning all the wars, in the day when we have all the wealth, in that day, saith the Eternal, that I, notice I means God, will cut off thy horses. Moffat, another translation, say your war horses. In other words, our fortifications and our armaments. And I will cut off your war horses out of the midst of you, and I will destroy thy chariots. And they used chariots in war in those days when this was written. In other words, implements of war and things of that sort. And I will cut off the cities of your land. Now, I'll show you later that our cities are going to be destroyed by nuclear warfare. Nothing else could destroy them. Now, this can't be said of Jews. They never reached such great prosperity. They never were like a lion among other nations. We have been. And this absolutely proves what is in the book, United States and Britain in Prophecy. And I will throw down all your strongholds, fortifications, military fortifications, and I, meaning God, will cut off witchcraft out of your hand. You shall have no more soothsayers. Now, that's referring to things like astrologers and things like that. And let me just pause here to say that with the United States adults, over 30% are planning their decisions, their business, and everything on astrology today. And among youths, over 40% are following astrology today in this country. That gives you an idea of what we've gone into and what God says is a curse and what he's going to cut off from our land. Now, verse 13, thy graven images also will I cut off, and thy standing images out of the midst of thee. Go into any Roman Catholic church and you will find those images. And thou shalt no more worship the work of thine own hands. We worship material things that men's hands make and men's machines. Of course, men's hands make the machines, and the machines make other things. And I will pluck up thy groves out of the midst of thee, so I will I destroy thy cities. Our cities are to be destroyed. Now I'll show you other prophecies saying the same thing. And I will execute, that is, God will do it, execute vengeance in anger and fury upon the heathen. And that is talking of the seven last plagues. And the heathen means other nations now, such as they have never heard. Now we're going to go to Jeremiah, a prophecy, in Jeremiah 25. And in verse 3, a noise shall come even to the ends of the earth, for the Lord, or the Eternal, has a controversy with the nation. Now, that's the whole world. But the nations often in prophecy does refer to the nations of Israel, and will plead with all flesh because they are sinning. God is pleading through the World Tomorrow telecast, through the plain truth. We're trying to show the people their sins. God says, cry aloud and show my people their sins. We've been doing that, brethren, and it's going into every nation on this earth. He will give them that are wicked to the sword, saith the Eternal. Well, the sword today is nuclear warfare. Thus says the Eternal of hosts, behold, evil shall go forth from nation to nation. Now, this is the whole world. And a great whirlwind shall be raised up from the coasts of the earth. Now, from that, we go to Jeremiah the 30th for another prophecy, and I want you to notice how these all fit together. For thus says the Eternal, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask you now and see whether... Oh, yes, this is the 30th chapter of Jeremiah. Ask you now and see whether a man doth travail with child. Therefore, wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in travail? And all faces are turned into paleness because of troubles that are coming. You're going to see that in the next year or two or three. Very soon now. We're coming right down to that time. And, oh no, alas. Alas for that day is great, so that none is like it. Now, have I been talking to you about a time of trouble such as never happened since there was a nation? Here it is again. And I want you to notice that that is especially on Israel, as I remarked, if you remember, a while ago. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is the time of Jacob's trouble, and we are Jacob. It's the time of trouble against the United States and England, and Europe is getting ready to rise up against us, and Europe will reunite, and they will form a new empire, a new nation, political, with one currency, one military force, one government. They have a vast great building in Brussels. I've been there. I've talked to the architect of this coming Europe. He has visited here and he's spoken to your brethren right on this very platform. And they're working furiously to bring this thing about. He knew that I know something about these things that are coming. And he had planned almost 6 months ahead to come over here on July the 10th of last year. And he did arrive on precisely that day, just as he had said months before he would. And July a year ago, many of you heard him. And he is the real architect of this coming great nation that will be greater, probably, than either the Soviet Union or the United States. And it is the nation that is going to destroy us, not Russia, believe it or not. Now, Russia is just as evil as everybody thinks it is. That is, their government and their way and the party that is ruling it. I'm not trying to defend them at all. I'm just telling you what the biblical prophecies say. Now, that day is great. It's a time of trouble such as there never was. And it's the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be delivered out of it. Now, he'll get into it, but then be delivered out of it. You see, it'll be a time that if God didn't intervene, no flesh would be saved alive, but for the elect's sake. The elect is partly our people. Now, most 2/3 of our people are going to be destroyed in what is coming. I'll read you that prophecy a little later in Ezekiel 5. But nevertheless, a third was going to be delivered out of it. For it shall come to pass, and to verse 8 now, in Jeremiah 30, for it shall come to pass in that day, says the Eternal of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck, that is the European yoke that will come, and will burst thy bonds, because the third of our people that are left are going to be in a dungeon, and they're going to find grace there and come back to God there. I'll read you that a little later. And strangers shall no more serve themselves of him, but they shall serve the Eternal their God. Finally, we're going to turn to God, and the Eternal their God, and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them by a resurrection. Talking about the resurrection at the second coming of Christ. You see, this is talking about our very time and the time of the great tribulation that is coming. And it is the time of Jacob's trouble. That means the United States and Britain. And it's primarily going to be against us, but it is going to be on the whole world. And it will be nuclear war, believe me. Nothing else could do what the prophecies say is going to happen. Now we want to go to the 47th chapter of Isaiah for another prophecy. Notice I'm putting these prophecies right together in a sequence, and I don't think you've ever heard them put together this way before. Isaiah 47, verse 1. Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Now, Babylon was the ancient king Nebuchadnezzar's empire 600 years before Christ. But this is not the ancient Babylon of Nebuchadnezzar. This is the daughter of Babylon in the last days. And the daughter is a female, and that refers to a church. Political governments are referred to in the male gender in Bible prophecy, and the female refers to a church. That's in the book of Revelation, and here it is in Isaiah, and it is in other prophecies of the Bible, Daniel and other places. O virgin daughter of Babylon, sit on the ground. There is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans. That's talking of the Roman Catholic Church, who sat on the thrones of the governments of Europe. She did in 554. She did again in 800, in the time of Charlemagne. She did in 554, the time of Justinian. Again in 800, the time the French government. She did later, I think about the 12th century, the time of Otto the Great, the German head, later in the Habsburg dynasty, and it was a Habsburg that was here last year, just a year ago, and spoke to us here, and he is the heir to that throne, that same throne, and now they want to get back into power again. O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate, in other words, a church, and was sitting on over governments, as the Roman Catholic did in all those years. Take the millstones and grind meal. Uncover thy locks. Bear the leg. Uncover the thighs. Pass over the rivers. Speaking of the one that is called a great whore in Revelation 17 and verse 5, and her harlot daughters of certainly the Protestant churches. It's time for plain speaking, brethren. These things are actually taking place, and they're all foretold in the Bible. And you don't find the Catholic or the Protestant churches quoting the Bible. They don't quote these prophecies. They don't dare. And no church on earth is quoting them but this one. Now continuing, verse 3. Thy nakedness, that means sins, shame and sin, thy nakedness shall be uncovered. Yea, thy shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance, this is God speaking, and I, God, will not meet thee there as a man. As for our Redeemer, the Eternal of Hosts, this is Christ, is his name, and the Holy One of Israel, which is Jesus Christ. Sit thou silent, and get thee into darkness, O daughter of the Chaldeans, Roman Catholic Church, for thou shalt no more be called the Lady of Kingdoms, the church that ruled over governments. Just as plain as you can be in speaking in symbolic language. And the Bible interprets its own symbols and interprets it exactly as I said. Now continuing, verse 6. God says, I, God, was wroth with my people, Israel, his people. United States and Britain are Israel today in the end time, this remnant. I was wroth with my people. I have polluted mine inheritance and given them into thine hand. The Roman Catholic Church will sit on top of this coming united Europe. She did in 554. She did in 800. She did in the 12th century. She did in the Habsburg dynasty. She did in the time of down to 1814. Napoleon. And Napoleon, when he was crowned, he snatched the crown right out of the Pope's hand as the Pope was going to crown him, and put it on his own head. And then Mussolini revived it as the sixth head of that beast, and the seventh one is coming up now in a united Europe, a reunification of Europe. I've talked to the leaders over in Athens, Greece. They want it so bad they can eat it. I've talked to the King of Spain, King Juan Carlos, and had a long talk with him in his office privately. And a very friendly one at that. But he's very anxious for this union to come and wants to be a part of it. And very strong for the Catholic Church. God says, I, God, was wroth with my people, that's our people, Israel. I have polluted mine inheritance and given them into thine hand. God is going to give us over to this united Europe. God gave us the wealth that we have. God blessed this country. We printed on their money in God we trust, but we didn't trust in God. I mean the country didn't. When I say we, I'm talking the United States, not the church. I hope we do trust in God and the church, but the nation has not. You know, Abraham Lincoln called a solemn day of fasting and prayer, and he had a proclamation saying, we didn't toil to earn the great wealth we have. And we hadn't gotten all the great wealth yet at that time. He said that it was given to us by God. Abraham Lincoln saw that, but we don't see it, and our presidents don't see it today. They see only what the Protestant churches will tell them. God says he was wroth with our people. I have polluted, and that means he's going to do that in the next few years. Mine inheritance, I have given them into thine hand. The Roman Catholic Church will sit astride of this coming United States of Europe. And did show them no mercy. We will not be shown mercy in this, brethren, upon the ancient. Hast thou very heavily laid thy yoke. We're an ancient nation. And we're the descendants of that ancient nation, ancient Israel. And we're the modern descendants. Now, in Jeremiah 30, I read to you about the yoke that would be on us. This shows you who put that yoke on us, and it will be a united Europe, headed by the Roman Catholic Church. It's time we wake up and realize that these prophecies are real. They are telling us what is going to happen, and very, very shortly. Now in the fifth chapter of Ezekiel, a prophecy I've read you already, our cities are going to be destroyed. Well, listen to this. Verse 12. A third part, and this is speaking of the house of Israel, a third part of thee shall die with the pestilence and with famine. Shall they be consumed? There will be famine, and it will get into a pestilence of disease. The four horsemen of Revelation, the sixth chapter, the first white horse are the false prophets, and they've been here ever since the time of Christ. And then the famine and the disease epidemic that are going to take so many people are the, the red horse is war. And the pale horse, the black horse, and the pale horse are the famine and the pestilence. Shall be consumed in the midst of thee, and a third part of thee shall fall by the sword. Now a third of our people are going to die by famine and pestilence and disease. A third of us by nuclear warfare and destroying our cities. Will there be enough cities to take one third of our whole population? By nuclear war, and shall fall by the sword round about thee. Of course, the sword is a symbol of armaments, and they didn't know about to write in that day, no one would have understood it if they'd said nuclear war. They didn't know what it was and they hadn't discovered it yet. And I, God, will scatter the third part. Now a third of our people will be left alive, and they're going to be scattered and taken prisoner. And another chapter, I think I'm coming to that, says that in the prison, or the Moffat translation has it, in the dungeon, they're going to find God and going to repent and cry out finally to God. And that, brethren, will be the fruitage of our labors and our work. I want to tell you, there are millions and millions of people listening to our telecast. Look, we're getting up to 10, 11, 12,000 telephone calls from every telecast every week now. And nearly always over 5,000. And it's alarming, our people that produce the plain truth, because it's costing so much money to send so many plain truths out. It's growing so rapidly. And so we go on every day. I don't know, I listen into all the sermons, and we've had some wonderful Bible studies Friday nights. When I come to a Bible study, I just wonder if I can produce anything as interesting to you as you've heard, as important, as valuable to you. They've been so good, but we don't hear much about the time that we're in and the sobering thought of what is coming upon us. And we've got to wake up and not be lulled to sleep. Now a third part of thee, the famine and the pestilence, a third by the sword, and the rest are going to be scattered to the winds, and they, in other words, they will be prisoners of war, and they're going to be taken, some to South America and some to Europe. Now, continuing, then shall mine anger, that's God's anger, be accomplished. And I will cause my fury, and that's the last plagues coming at the time of the coming of Christ, after the great tribulation, I will cause my fury to rest upon them, and I will be comforted, and they shall know that I am the Eternal. People don't know who God is today. As I said a while ago, you say to someone, you don't believe in God, and they'll raise up and be angry. They'll say, don't tell me I don't believe in God. I do too believe in God. But they really don't, brethren. Because to them, God is some mythical, mystic something who is not real at all. To the average person, they have no real concept of what God is. Like one woman said not too long ago, well, this was 2 or 3 years ago, I remember this. So, well, God is not real to me. God is not real to most people. Brethren, is he real to you? God is so very real to me, and I hope he is to you. And when God says he's going to do these things, you find out how real God is, and very soon now. Cause his fury, and fury means this last plagues, referred to every time, upon them. And I, God, will be comforted, and they shall know that I am the Lord, they haven't known it up till now, and that I have spoken it in my zeal when I have accomplished it, my fury upon them. Now he's going to punish the nations, this fury. He's going to punish them to wake them up and bring them back to him for their own good. A lot of people don't realize the plagues God sent on ancient Egypt when he delivered Israel out of Egypt. Back in the time of Moses, was sent in God's love to teach the Egyptians a lesson and to teach them that the gods they worshipped were not real gods and that the true God is real. God punishes those he loves. And God's punishment is always corrective, never vengeance. Now in Ezekiel 6, that's the next chapter in Ezekiel, and verse 6, in all your dwelling places, the cities shall be laid waste. Now, I read you that in two other prophecies before this. Our cities are going to be nothing but nuclear warfare. Hydrogen bombs could destroy whole cities like Los Angeles, San Francisco, New York, Philadelphia, Chicago, Detroit, St. Louis, Our great vast cities, they're so big. The kind of bombs that have been used even up into World War II couldn't destroy whole cities. Unless there were just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them. Your cities shall be laid waste, and the high places shall be desolate, that your altars may be laid waste and made desolate, and so on. Let me see if I don't. Your images will be thrown down, and your works will be abolished. Now, the great tribulation will be on the whole world, but especially on our people, as I have just read to you. Now, let me see. I want to read you a little later. Here's some more in Jeremiah 30. What I was reading, Ezekiel. Well, here I had some more of Jeremiah 30. I thought I'd finished that. And Jeremiah 30 and verse 24. Oh, this is the last part of that Jeremiah 30. I didn't read all of it, so now I'll drop down to the last verse. The fierce anger of the Eternal shall not return until he have done it. That's when he is going to, the great tribulation will be the time of Jacob's trouble, as I read at that time in this same chapter. And until he have performed the intents of his heart, in the latter days you shall consider it. You see, it wasn't a prophecy for ancient Israel, it's a prophecy for now. Now going right on into Jeremiah 31, following Jeremiah 30 that said it is the great tribulation, the time of Jacob's trouble. Now Jeremiah 31, at the same time, says the Eternal, will I be the God of all the families of Israel. Now, when Israel has become a number of nations, all the family means all of the nations. All of the families, that's plural, meaning all of the different nations that have developed into from the old ancient tribes of Israel. And they shall be my people. You see how it's going to finally come out? Thus says the Eternal, the people which were left of the sword. And I read you how a third will be left of the sword and be taken captive. The people that were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness. And some say in the dungeon. They'll be imprisoned. The Moffat translation has dungeon from the original Greek word, or the original Hebrew, rather. Even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest. That's the time when our harvest will really come in. Brethren, there are millions of people that are reading the plain truth. 7 million copies go out every month. And in many cases, as many as 4 different people read every issue. Millions are listening on television. Everywhere I go in Europe, around in London, in Germany, in France, in Paris, and this last trip in Vienna. People come up to me and recognize me. Oh, I watch you on television. They're visiting over there on vacation, and they see me in television. You have no idea what vast audience we have, but our programs are so strong on television. Everybody doesn't call in, and we don't hear from them. Many, many times I hear people and talk to people that say, well, I've been listening to you, but they never wrote in. They never called in. I was down in the home of the mayor of Los Angeles, and that was the time when the president of Austria was there, and since I have had dinner with him in his own country, and a voice came up and called me by name. I turned around, and there was Muhammad Ali. And he said, well, I listen to you all right. I watch you on television. Oh, yes. Well, I said, thank you, champ. I'm glad you do. And he was very well dressed in white, a nice white suit, very snappy looking. So the champ watches. Now in Jeremiah 31, verse 3, the Eternal has appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved you with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn you. Again I will build you, I'm using you instead of thee, and you shall be built, O Virgin of Israel. Our people will be built again, all that are left of them, and then during the millennium and after, thou shalt again be adorned with thy tabrets, and shall go forth to the dances of them that are that make merry. Then, notice, thou shalt yet plant vineyards upon the mountains of Samaria, back over in the Holy Land. Well, I won't read all of this, but finally it says, arise ye, and let us go up to Zion unto the Lord our God. And then coming down to verse 31, I didn't have that here. I won't go into it tonight. But it says that then he will make a new covenant with our people, with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. And that's the same thing that you find also in the 8th chapter of the book of Hebrews. The new covenant that will be made after the second coming of Christ. And that is the covenant of the kingdom of God. And the old covenant he made with Moses, they only made them into the kingdom of Israel. This will make them into the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of Israel. Well, let's see, here's some more in verse 7 in Jeremiah 31. For thus saith the Eternal, sing with gladness for Jacob, and shout among the chief of the nations. And we have been the chief of the nations. The Jews never were. And this is speaking of Israel, and it can't be speaking of Jews. Publish you, praise you, and say, O Eternal, save thy people, the remnant of Israel, the remnant, the last generation down here before the second coming of Christ. Then, oh yes, I still have more Jeremiah 31 here. Behold, I will bring them from the north country and gather them from the coasts of the earth. Some will be in South America, and with them the blind and the lame, and the women with child, and them that traveleth with child together, and a great company shall return thither. Now, let me see. And carrying on, I think I have more here than I had time to read. Let me see how the time is going. And time is just about up, and I'm not going to be able to finish this tonight. They shall come with weeping, and with supplications will I lead them. That's the way it's going to finally turn out. And Christ will come, and I will cause them to walk by the rivers of waters in a straight way, and shall not stumble. For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. That, of course, is Britain. Well, I won't take time to read the rest, but Jeremiah 50, let's see, that was in Jeremiah 31. Now, here's just a little verse in Jeremiah 50, in verse 4. In those days, and at that time, says the Eternal, the children of Israel, that's Britain and America, shall come, they and the children of Judah, that's the Jewish people, together, going and weeping, they shall go and seek the Eternal, their God. Then what I wanted to do, and I don't have time to cover tonight, I wanted to show you what is going to happen to the church. And here's some more from Jeremiah 50. I do want to get that in before we close tonight, if I may have just that much time. See, they shall ask the way to Zion with their faces thitherward, saying, come ye and let us join ourselves to the Eternal in a perpetual covenant that shall not be forgotten. My people hath been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. Now, his people are Israel, America, and Britain. And the preachers, Roman, Catholic, and Protestant, have caused them to go astray. I don't think the preachers of God's own church have caused them to go astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place. Well, now that was it. And then I was going to come to the prophecies of Revelation 3, Revelation 12, and other things, and then in Matthew 25 and Revelation 7 and Revelation 5, showing what is going to happen to the church. I won't take time to go into that tonight. You've had enough for one Bible study, and I don't think you've had those prophecies or read them or studied them recently. Now, I've given you nothing that is new tonight, but I don't think you've been conscious of these prophecies for several years. And it's time we are conscious of them again, because we're down to that very time. And we need to realize the time, and we need to be praying more than we have been, studying the Bible and getting our thoughts and our minds on God and the things above and not the things of this world. Maybe some of us have had our minds too much on Olympic Games lately, just game after game after game after game. I never realized there were so many things, as you see on television now, on the Olympics. Why, we're just crazy about games and sports, and about everything except God. Let's get our minds and our hearts back on the things of God, brethren.